live from the darkness once again. I am Randy Aspinwall, and I'm back up on my feet. Not completely over it yet, but I got notification that my quarantine time is over. And so the gang and I are pulled back together down here in the darkness. We don't have a guest lined up for ourselves today, but I thought that it would be a very special episode where we just kind of filled in the blanks on everybody's backstory. You know, we've heard a lot from Lugutz about some of the things that he experienced. We've heard some things from Julie. We've heard some things from Donal. And I personally have gotten more of this information offline and off the show just from having conversations with these folks and honestly from having conversations with my wife, because you guys tell my wife a lot of things that you don't tell me. I'd like you to tell me some of those things. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves, and then I'm going to kick right off with you, Lugutz.
I am Lugutz the Ghoul. You know, we were talking about cultists last week. Did you hear about the new cult that worships fabrics?
I don't keep up on this stuff. I mean, there's so many of them, to be honest with you. I just don't even know what to do.
Well, they're Satanists.
Oh.
Oh, it was a joke. Oh. I haven't heard a joke in a while.
Good one.
You could tell that one to my kids.
Bad joke. My name is Detective Donal O'Shaughnessy.
Now, this I'm looking forward to.
I don't feel like spelling it today. We don't have a guest. You all know how to spell my name.
Come on.
It's getting old. I'm running out of words.
The one time I was really looking. I've been waiting.
E as in don't care. O as in don't care.
All right. Julie, you out there?
Yep. I'm just checking the perimeter as I do. And
Introduce yourself. You're part of the team.
I'm Julie the Ghost. Here. I am a former, cultist now. All-round security.
All right. Like I said, I want this to be an origin story episode. I want to know what got you all here to me. So I want to start with you, Lou, because you were the first one that I met. What happened to my great-great-great-granduncle? And what happened from the time that he died to the time when you met up with me in the Stewart's parking lot?
Well, it was very early in October, and Randolph had awoken from one of his dream travels, and he was kind of freaking out a bit about it. So he called up his attorney and had his will drawn up. And
that's the will that I got.
The will that you got. Yes. Yes. And he started telling me about you, actually, that you were his only living heir that lives in Kerhonkson. Huh. And he told me that the final war is coming. And so he gives me the silver key as his prized possession. And he made me promise to give it to you along with a copy of his will and the letter that I handed to you.
Hmm.
And he made me swear that, you know, I would do what I can to protect you no matter what. You know, make sure you got this stuff.
All right.
And
I'll hold you to that.
And then he basically spent most of the night actually down here working on, the laptop and just setting everything up for you. You know, I don't know about a lot of it because it's, apparently a secret between you and him and the letter. After all that, that's when the cricket creatures showed up.
Huh. These are the same things that Mr. Crowchuckle described. I haven't gotten through episode 2 yet, but I heard episode 1. I got that edited. That's going to go live tonight at midnight, tomorrow morning at midnight. So it'll be ready for folks who wake up on Monday morning. Our fresh episodes are always there. And if you get on your podcast player, you go to livefromthedarkness.com. There's a link there that'll take you to a page that lists out all the different podcast players. You pick your podcast player, you get on there, subscribe to the podcast. And then every Monday when you wake up, there's going to be a fresh episode of Live from the Darkness sitting there on your cell phone, on your pod player, on your computer, whatever it is you got, ready for you to listen to. So you'll never miss out on us. Okay, so the cricket creatures show up.
And actually, before they showed up, the power had suddenly gone out. And then this, horrifying sound of the giant crickets, you can hear it all around us. Like they're rasping all their legs all at the same time. And
I wonder who fixed the power here.
And I'm not sure because as soon as that started to happen, your uncle told me to go. Almost begged me, go now. I wanted to help him. I wanted to fight these creatures. But he knew that we wouldn't be able to stop them so easily. And I'm pretty sure he knew that they were going to tear him apart.
My wife told me that you told her that he was decapitated and he still talked to you and told you to run.
It is true. I mean,
that's like some Viggo the Carpathian shit.
Well, your uncle is very powerful. Very powerful with his spells.
That's a high level maneuver.
Right. So then, you know, I dashed out of there, of course, trying to get away from these things. And they're really fast because you got to take into consideration how fast I am.
Sure. Yeah. You are literally supersonic.
Right. So, and they were catching up to me. They were attacking me. I was able to kill a few of them. But, you know, they were starting to tear me up. So I had to think faster. So I stashed the stuff that he gave me to give to you. I stashed it in this hollow oak tree, and I had to dive off a cliff to get away from these things.
How high was the cliff?
A few hundred feet.
Whew. So did your fall get broken by trees? Are you that superhuman that you just landed and kept running? Like, what happened to you?
It was quite the impact. I mean, I did hit some tree branches and stuff on the way down, which was starting to tear me up more. When my body hit the ground, it just kind of pretty much exploded. I mean, it was just pieces of me went everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
When you met up with me, you were fully reformed. Oh, my God. And then you got shot in the head. But you were fully reformed just before you got shot in the head. How did that happen?
Well, I have, you know, these regenerative powers that, you know, we spoke about before. That's
sure,
why, you know.
Yeah. I want to explain it to the listeners, and, you know, I'd like to know kind of a little bit more about it too myself.
Sure, sure. One of the little chunks, like smallest bit of chunks, like probably less than a bite worth
of you, a chunk of
me.
Of you. Okay,
just a chunk of me, just little bit, became aware. You know, I mean, it was I think it was probably hours later, because I mean, that took a lot out of me. So became aware, and I realized, shit, I don't have a body. You know, what am I gonna do?
Right, you're a meat chunk, like you're
basically a meat chunk, right? But just like you know, when other animals die, or you know, explode, some flies were drawn in to the meat. And one landed on the speck. That was me, and I took that opportunity to absorb the little bastard.
Huh. You know what? What a feat of evolution, though, to have evolved to become such a creature. Because I am aware that you are not one of a kind. I know there's a ghoul world out there where there's, you know, your entire species populates the earth, much as humans do here. But what an interesting evolutionary turn that even in destruction, your own rotting meat lures in your salvation for your resurrection.
Yeah. Cycle of life, baby.
And then some.
So I consumed this fly, and
you just absorbed it, like you just break it down, like I mean, as some kind of acid you secrete or anything. Like, how do you absorb the fly? You're just a chunk of meat with no mouth.
It just kind of I kind of melted into myself, you know, kind of like
that's a power.
Yeah, kind of, you know, maybe for the listeners, if they've ever seen The Blob, you know, the second version particularly, it's kind of like that.
Okay,
you know.
He messes up a movie when you're watching a movie in the theater. He comes through the screen.
Have you ever done that?
No, I have not done that. But
Man, I want to see.
He's not that evil. Sure, he kills and eats sentient beings, but he won't ruin your movie.
No.
That damn blob did. Not you, Lou. The blob.
So you just absorb this thing. Now, let me ask you this: is this a power that you still have? Or is this like some kind of survival mechanism that kicks in? Because, I mean, everything I've seen you eat since I've met you has been, you know, you like with your mouth, your big jaws. Could you like right now just absorb a steak through your hands if you wanted to? Do you choose to eat with your mouth?
I do choose to eat with my mouth. I have really strong senses, so I really taste things.
Mm.
Well, wait a minute now. So this means that, Julie, you've been able to manifest yourself in a different physical way. I mean,
yes.
We knew you were able to do the psychic handy, but let's face it, even Patrick Swayze can move a quarter. So are you telling me that you can manifest a physical form for Lugitz to go down on?
Yeah, I've been definitely working on
how
that.
How much body can you... Now, this is amazing that you can... This is something you two really have in common, is recreating yourself from nothing. So Lugitz... You recreate yourself from meat, and Julie, you create yourself from spirit. I mean, for me, the implications of this are immense. How much of a body are you able to create with psychic energy?
Fairly complete one. There's just
wow.
There's a little bit of softness on the edges, but I can mostly condense myself pretty well.
Lucas probably likes that.
Oh yeah, keeps things interesting.
Huh. That is really cool. Meat spirits. Yeah. Wow. All right. So you're a little speck of meat that just absorbed a fly and added its biological mass to your own.
Correct.
You puke up the stuff like Jeff Goldblum?
Well, he wasn't the fly, Donald. He absorbed the fly.
Okay, he absorbed the fly. Okay.
So, his cellular
like
structure,
the Majin Buu.
Like Blob, like he was saying, I don't know this stuff. I don't know any pop culture.
To his point, before I absorbed the fly, because that fly was trying to eat me, so he kind of routed some of his yuckiness on me. So I consider that instant karma.
Sure,
I absorb you.
Yeah, pretty much. So, thankfully, that wasn't the only fly. I got in him. It became a little bit bigger, and thus attracted more flies.
Huh.
Absorbed them, and got myself to a point where I also started to attract animals.
Okay, like carrion hunters and scavenger kind of things.
Yeah, matter of fact, there was a bird, a crow, I believe. It just kind of came down and swallowed me. So now I'm inside this bird, and I was like, "All right, it's go time." And I absorbed up the bird
from the inside out.
From the inside out.
Oh, you homunculoid weirdo, you! But good for you, though. That's great. The meat of a bird is substantially larger than the biological mass of a fly. How big were you after you took on the bird?
Almost an entire finger.
Okay. So when you were a finger, what did you do?
It's very similar to one of those inchworms. I just kind of, started to move about a bit, move myself forward, pull myself forward.
I bet that made you like bait.
Yeah, more birds came after me, of course, as a finger, yeah.
You were literally the finger of death.
I was the finger of death, yes.
You can do a lot with that finger.
I was not going to say anything, but I'm glad
you never
did.
Has problems satisfying a woman? Snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus?
Look at his snout.
Yeah, I don't know.
That actually disturbs me more than the fact that Donald admitted to trying to find ghoul porn.
Well, I'm looking for ghoul porn. I've told you for years.
I looked right over that.
Donald did ask on Twitter if I've had relations with women.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I missed this tweet.
I guess you just weren't paying attention.
It was a couple days ago, last week? I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
I missed this tweet.
It's there. Look it up.
I'm bad at the social media.
So...
You also had the vid, so it's different.
That's true.
I was not the ghost in that instance, I will tell you that. But while I was human, I like men, I like women, and
like snuffleupagus.
So what do you think about the extended jaw? What do you think about the because there's a lot of people out there that have that extended jaw that go and they get surgery. Arnold Schwarzenegger went and had his jaw shaved so that his lower jaw would sit further back, but I think that the lower jaw really helps with cunnilingus and in your case, Lugitz, there's no shaving that thing back. I mean, that's a full-on dog maw.
That it is.
Have you put peanut butter down there? Because, dogs love peanut butter down there. So, Lucas, if he's like a dog, he's peanut butter. Peanut butter.
There's times where I'm
it's peanut butter anytime you can. Only if it's Peter Pan or Lucas.
Well,
it's not the worst idea.
I think we figured out what Donald wants to see on Pornhub.
Well, we're doing this show sometimes. We're doing this show sometimes and we get on a topic and I'm like, hey, I got this really edgy topic we're talking about. We're talking about going down on girls now. We're talking about girls going down on girls. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if the audience is going to be into this. Is this too much? Are we being too perverted? And then Donald comes along and knocks all the fucking pervert pins over.
Because nothing says ratings like kind of lingus with peanut butter.
Oh, my
God. Wow. When you put it like
peanut
that,
lingus.
Wow.
Hippie lingus. And in Johnny Moon's case, choosy moms choose Jim.
Oh!
Try the veal, everybody.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Donald. Okay. I think we officially need to call our little special night here or something. I mean, not having a guest, just hanging out with the three is kind of nice, especially after being locked away in quarantine for so long. I don't know. What do we call this? We can't call it a boys' night. We can't call it a girls' night. I guess we could I don't know.
We could call it a lemon patty.
The lemon party. No, peanut butter party.
No.
The peanut butter patty.
A peanut butter party. Peanut butter night.
Yeah, it's definitely not a lemon patty.
You know, maybe to pay some bills, maybe we can get some peanut butter manufacturers to get us to sponsor.
Now, that's something. If you're a peanut butter manufacturer out there and you would like your peanut butter to be the peanut butter that is the peanut butter of choice to be smeared all over vaginas just before sexual partners go down there and eat it off, then get at me. It's randy@livefromthedarkness.com. And I would love to set up a sponsorship situation with our show. And we have a couple of people here that are willing to try your peanut butter. So give us a buzz. Peanut butter night. Peanut butter night!
Peanut butter!
You don't have a nut allergy, right, Lou?
I guess the only question is, creamy or chunky.
Oh. That's what I was going to ask.
You know, that just put it over the limit for me, though. That really just took it over the edge for me. The words, you know, creamy or chunky.
Creamy. Definitely creamy.
Mm.
Yeah, chunky is you have to go to an OBGYN for that.
Well, the chunky, though, could add texture, you know, which I can imagine being something. Like, you know, I'm just saying. Maybe I'm thinking too much here. Maybe it's my COVID brain.
Another interesting thing about my regenerative properties is that I can control what grows out, you know, first, or, you know, just kind of choose like the blueprint of you know, how that's going.
Grow. That's interesting.
When the finger was complete and I started to get some in the hand, I made sure to grow a eyeball on the tip of one of the, you know, of my finger.
That is amazing. So now
you grew an eyeball on your finger.
Yes.
Okay. So is John Goodman a ghoul? Because he does this commercial when it's like supposed to be like a casino thing and it's his face, but it's a finger. His face is on the finger.
Well, we've learned that any number of celebrities out there could be any kind of creature. They could, I mean, at this point, there's werewolves, lizard people, hillbilly incest people. Like, anybody could be anything.
It's true. Interesting. It's true. Some of them are shapeshifters. They look like humans, and sometimes they have other ways to make themselves appear human.
Interesting.
Leatherface.
Like, yeah, and sometimes it's magic. I mean, your uncle had me disguised as Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. These people could be running around as anything.
That's a disguise right there.
You think Bill Murray is a creature from beyond?
Maybe.
He's not a zombie, though. Well, he might be now. I'm not sure. But he wasn't before.
All right, so you're a hand with an eyeball on a finger, making your way through the woods, devouring whatever living things try to come and eat you.
Yep.
That's badass. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
That is seriously badass. You are truly unkillable.
Just about.
So you don't have any of the paperwork or the silver key. How'd you get that stuff back?
First, of course, I had to, you know, continue my quest to regrow my body. And I was fortunate enough to come across a deer.
Okay. Was it dead already?
No, it was alive. It was a you know, nice sized buck.
So how did you kill it? I mean, assuming you killed it.
Basically, I went and I used my talons to chop down his legs a bit. You know, cut him there, and his knees buck gold. And
that's another joke, right?
It's another joke. Yeah.
Don't, do me a favor though. Don't tell this one to my kids.
Okay.
So you killed, of course, Bambi's mom.
Do not tell my daughter that.
Dad.
Yeah. It was a dad. It was a dad. It was a Bambi.
Killed Bambi's dad. Okay.
Well, you know, the deer can identify in any way it chooses.
This is true. Well, I decided.
Transgenders.
Oh, I see what you
did. See, I can do it too, Lou.
That wasn't bad. All right. So I decided to identify him as my lunch.
That's
so when that sucker hit the ground, you know, I went and I slit his throat just, you know, to be merciful. You know, I didn't want him to suffer while I was, chowing down. And I was able to grow half my body back with that.
What half?
Top. It was half, the upper half. Right. Upper half. Pretty much waist up.
Okay. Now, are you trailing entrails at this point? Or are you like sealed up like a sausage?
Sealed there, because, you know, okay. I got to Got to protect my innards.
Okay.
and I was using my arms to just kind of, wobble my way through to find more animals.
Oh, my. It's in these moments that I have to question. Like, I know that we're trying to save the world. I know that we have no idea what we're up against. But we continually assume that we are the good guys doing the right thing. And in moments like this, I wonder, like, are we monsters? I mean, here is a half a ghoul making his way through the woods on two hands, devouring stuff. Not a no judgments note, though, Lugitz. I mean, we've all done our fair share, whatever. But just in this moment, I just, I do stop and wonder, like, what are we? So
we're monsters.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically.
Well, this was a survival thing for me.
All right, that's fair. So you're making your way through the woods. You're half a man, used to be. Half the ghoul you used to be.
Okay, Scott Weiland, we hear you.
Nobody can hear him anymore, Donald. And we could have a seance.
I guess. But how would you know if it's Scott Weiland or somebody else? Because there's like four guys and they all sound the same.
Well, we could maybe try to come up with some sort of personal information. I'm sure you could do some kind of background check on that and come up with that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Eddie Vedder playing a trick on us. He's not dead. And he sounds just like that guy.
I feel like I could tell the difference between Eddie Vedder and Scott Weiland. I think I could detect the subtle differences.
You understand the even flow then?
We had the even flow bottles for my daughters, and I
it's a song, Randy. I was making a joke.
I know that, but that's what the song's about.
It's about baby formula.
It's about baby bottles. Yeah.
Oh my lord.
You may want to reread those lyrics.
Yeah. All right,
listen, I don't know anything about pop culture. So Luke, we're talking about you. Well, let's not talk about Randy. Nobody wants to know about Randy.
That's right. Nobody wants to know about Randy.
So let's talk about Lugitz.
Okay, so
I don't want to talk about Randy stuff. So you're a half a guy, half a ghoul.
And
you're making your way through the forest. Now, clearly at some point you got to grow legs.
Yeah.
And then you got to get back up the mountain because you showed up with the key and all the documents.
Right. So, just to kind of move things along here, I devoured more animals, got the rest of my body going, and I climbed up that mountain, which was a lot easier once I had legs again.
Mm.
Found the, that hollow tree.
Oh, glad those bug creatures aren't that smart.
Yeah. I mean, I was thankful because I wasn't sure if I was going to find that stuff. I was like, hopefully, nobody came along and took it. Found the stuff, and I was like, all right. So then from there, I used the address that your uncle gave me to go to your house.
Now, my wife never mentioned this, but when you showed up at the house, were you naked or did you find clothes? And if you had clothes on, where'd you find them?
Oh, I did spare your wife having to see me naked. I did stop off at a gas station, waited until, a man roughly my size or large enough, walked in there, followed him into the bathroom and...
You killed a guy for his clothes?
No, I knocked him out. Okay.
That was nice.
Yeah. And, obviously, having in my ghoul speed, I made sure that he couldn't see me and identify me. Otherwise, I would have had to kill him.
When you regrew your body, you're working your way down from your waist. Do you regrow your penis and balls and then the legs? Or do you get the legs first for utility and then grow your dick back? What was your choice? And follow-up question, did you put an eyeball on the end of your dick?
Okay, so...
Oh, that's a great question.
That's a legitimate question. The eyeball that I had on my finger, I put back in the right place and I grew the other eyeball. So there's no extra eyeballs.
No dick eyeball.
No dick eyeball, but the dick was high on the priority to grow back,
Before the legs or after? That's the question. I mean, if you're dragging yourself through the woods on your hands, you don't necessarily want to be dragging your junk through the underbrush.
It's true. Well, I started the legs. I got them up to the knees and then I grew the penis back because,
Now, can you pick the size of things that as they grow? Like, do you just have a standard penis size you run with or do you sometimes make it a little bigger, a little smaller, depending on what you're doing?
I have a little bit of flexibility. Pun intended, with that, I'm pretty good at the size that
lose a very generous portion.
A portion. Oh my God. I think that's the sexiest way I've ever heard that, but you're a portion. Oh, I don't know whether to be slightly disgusted or totally impressed.
Yeah, but you don't have to wear three-legged jeans like I do.
Well, Donald, let me ask you, if you had the opportunity to shrink your penis, would you get the penis reduction surgery?
Nope. I have no other positive attributes about me, so if I lost my giant hog, I would be completely undesirable to women in every way.
Well, Donald, you know that, you know, when a guy is a little too big, it can be sometimes painful.
Well, every woman I've ever been with has screamed in passion.
Donald, I think that might just
be screaming.
Except my wife.
I think that might just be your lack of empathy.
I don't understand what those words mean.
Okay. So, Lugitz, you've grown back your legs and your penis. You go and you see my wife.
Yep.
Now, clearly this is why you and my wife are friends. Now, what did you say to my wife? What was that interaction?
Well, I asked for you, and she said that you were at Stewart's in the parking lot.
The cable went out at the house, so I had to go and sit in the parking lot and run it over my phone. Some pretty good improv that night.
Okay, well, until you were interrupted, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, but that's the easy part of the story, right? I really want to know the backstory. So just to give it to you folks real fast, sorry, no pun intended. I know we talk about sex a lot, but I'm sitting there. I'm going through, with my improv group. We're having a great time. We're doing a good thing. You know, people are looking at me through my window because I'm doing improv over my phone in the driver's seat of my car. All of a sudden, this SUV screeches to a halt behind me. These guys all jump out, and they open fire on me. Lugitz launches out of nowhere. I didn't know that he was this strange half dog, half zombie looking creature because he was clothed and he had a hoodie on and sunglasses and a hat. And I did just see him with these huge claws coming out of the ends of his black sweatshirt, just slashing and cutting. And then he got shot in the head. He hands me the stuff from my uncle. He gives me the letter. He gives me the silver key. He gives me the will, all this stuff in an envelope. And he's yelling at me, telling me to get out of there, get out of there, and meet him at the mansion. I don't know what the hell else to do, right? I've never seen a ghoul before in my life. Think of a werewolf, a giant werewolf. This is what I saw looking at me from under this hoodie. So this all hit me all at once. So I throw my car in reverse. I slam on the gas. Never in my life have I haven't even punched anybody. I've never injured anyone in my life. I killed two people that day, ran them right over. They were trying to shoot me. They shot Lugitz, and I was in a panic, right? So I got the hell out of there. At first, I thought maybe I would go and see my wife, but Lugitz had said, go right to the mansion. Don't go home. They'll follow you home. They'll kill your wife and kids. So I took off. I came right here to this mansion. You know, you folks know the story since then. I went downstairs. I got flashy thing to the face by the altar. I woke up in the studio on the couch. I freaked out, ran out the door, got into the Buick, tried to drive away from the estate. I got about a quarter of a mile up the driveway, long driveway coming into these woods, folks. I mean, we're in the middle of a huge forest. Slammed right into the force field, totaled the Buick, knocked myself unconscious again, woke up. Donald had shot me in the ass while I was unconscious.
I was discharging the gun. I told you that. I'm sorry.
I'm not, no judgment here. You're totally forgiven. It's in the past. Actually, everything is really healed up pretty well. It's fine. I don't feel that bad at all. They wake me up, you know, Lugitz had done surgery, taken the bullet out of my ass, and we decided to do this podcast. And so that's when we did our first podcast. Now, this brings me to Julie, because we get to our second episode. Donald had sought companionship for the evening and had Julie come on over. And then we've come to find out some new things. Julie, I just want to say it's okay that you were Agent 0009er. You're clearly with us now. You know, we can see that you're part of this team, and you're stuck here with us now too. So something else out there must think that you need to be here too. And whatever that thing is, just like, you know, Mr. Crowchuckle said, something out there killed you before you could kill Donald.
That's what he said.
That means
I appreciate
something. That
very much. Whatever you are, whoever you are, thank you.
When you showed up as a ghost, you were terrifying.
But sexy.
Julie, let's focus on the positive.
Mm-hmm.
You were Agent 0009er. You weren't really a sex worker. So tell us about how you became Agent 0009er.
Okay. By the way, I have portrayed a sex worker more than once. So, you know,
okay.
I'm familiar
with
the
usual assassin role.
Yeah.
Easy to get to guys that way because we're knuckleheads.
Generally, yes.
Do you find it's as easy to kill a woman that way?
Depends on the woman.
That's an interesting answer.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to say that, you know, if a woman is interested in another woman, then it's a lot easier.
Do women have more of an innate sense for, like, hey, someone, you know, you're playing a gag on me and you're going to kill me? Oh, I guess I'm answering my own question, right? Because if that was true, we wouldn't have so many successful serial killers out there.
Well, I mean, there's the men, and yes, men are generally just stupid. women seem to not necessarily pick up on the signals as easily. It takes a little bit more coaching to get them to realize that, hey, I'm interested in having sexual relations with you. So, yeah.
All right, you know what, though? That's true. As guys, like, when we're really, like, overt about it, we generally fail. But when we're, like, you know, very, like, we take our time and we do things to reveal our interests and stuff like that, I feel like we have higher success rates. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Kind of, but more in the way of like a guy is, a male is generally more...
ready.
Yes.
Insert somewhere close, preferably moist, thrust, repeat.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And fall asleep afterwards.
You gotta have a roast beef sandwich first, though.
Whereas a woman is a little bit more like, what? Huh? Oh, really? Okay. So it takes a little bit to get their confidence, and so it's a different barrier to sort of...
A different animal, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your perspective on that.
Yeah. But you were asking about how I became Agent 0009er.
Yes.
So I told you about my interaction with Elderberry when I was 16.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So about a year before that, when I was going to be entering, middle school, my father had enrolled me in this boarding school.
Okay.
And I thought it was like a Catholic boarding school.
Okay. Were you raised Catholic?
You know, like we had the uniforms and the dormitories and classrooms and whatnot. And
so you were a Catholic girl.
Well,
with a tiny little mustache. Do you know how they go?
What? Oh, Donald. Whatever.
It's a song. It's Frank Zappa.
Oh, tongue like a cow.
Yeah.
Make you go wow.
Right.
Well, not, I'm not saying you're
a CYO. We're not talking about you, Julie. We're talking about a song.
Generic Catholic girls.
Yeah.
You know, from a different decade. A different decade. Anyway. Back when you could sing stuff like that and still be respected as like a subculture hero.
Okay, then.
Without being, you know, totally offensive.
Right.
Also, why does it hit when I pee?
Okay. Anyway, this boarding school, it for all intents and purposes, it appeared to be a Catholic school, but catechism was always a little strange.
Okay.
But I didn't actually understand the differences until I was raised older.
You know what? I was raised Hindu and then became Catholic, and I'm going to tell you, the Catholic catechism was strange for me too.
I discovered that my father was actually a part of this cult. And
okay, so now we're in the cult. It's a Catholic cult?
Catholic cult? What blasphemy!
So this boarding school was actually a recruiting mechanism for the cult of Neil.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with the Catholics.
Nothing to do with the Catholics.
This is just a fake church.
It seemed to be
that. Okay.
Yeah. And so for the first few years, I thought it was a Catholic thing, but it turns out that no, we were actually being recruited for this cult.
Okay. Cult of
Nyarlathotep.
Nyarlathotep. Okay. Yes. How does young middle school Julie react to that?
The boarding school was actually middle and high school ages. Okay. So I was actually a little bit older. I think I was around 17 or 18 when I sort of put the pieces together and figured out that this is not a Catholic school. Duh.
Gotcha.
I went to my father and I said, Dad, what'd you get me into here? Like, what's going on? And so he sat me down, and apparently our family has been worshipers of Nyarlathotep for many generations. And so it was my turn. These girls, these people that I was at boarding school with became my family, basically.
Huh.
So for me, it was just, okay, I guess a different religion.
There's some crazy stuff with cults and the brainwashing that goes on. So where does 18-year-old Julie go there? What's next?
Oh, so they set me up with a very nice college.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Stanford.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Really nice campus. Really, I highly recommend it for anybody who's looking into that.
Sure, mm-hmm. Anybody with lots of money and dads in cults.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, the cult paid for everything. I mean, they're very generous.
Right, sure, because they were raising a future assassin.
Well, yes, there's that too. Yes.
All right. Mm,
a cult scholarship. Interesting.
In a way, yes.
So where'd you go from college? Right into assassinations?
The cult sort of positioned me into being accepted into the FBI, but you have to be a minimum of 23 for that. So that's why college first and then...
Okay.
And then they were able to leverage me into a position within the FBI to
leverage,
you know.
Yeah. So this cult of Neimbotep,
Neelarthotep, yes.
Neelarthotep is connected to the FBI.
Sections of it, yes. There,
I knew it.
As Simon said, there are secret government organizations within the government, within certain, not all the FBI is controlled by this, right.
I'm sure there's Neelarthotep. I'm sure there's cultists of Neelarthotep who are working at a Wendy's. I guess it's just all like what people are doing. It's just higher levels, you know.
Yes, the those are our public relations people.
Huh.
That's why my Frosties have been fucked up lately.
Now, what are they putting in the Frosties?
I can't say. You
can't or you won't?
I can't.
All right.
You're already dead, Julie. What are they going to do to you?
And also, you're on our team.
They can't do anything to you.
You're also on our team.
This is true.
They can't hit you.
All right.
You're already dead.
All right. You know what? We shouldn't out Wendy's for drugging their Frosties anyway.
Anyway. All right.
We like Wendy's.
They are.
Drugs
in them or not?
I utilized the FBI training and I participated in their program for about 5 years. And then I moved into a more secure program, which was when I attained the designation of Agent 00009er.
Oh, so now at this point, you've become the assassin. Now, forgive me if this is a harsh question to ask. We're trapped in a dark sub-basement, which is just an absolute endless void. And with some of the shit we've seen, I feel like it's okay. So my question is, you're an assassin, right? If, like, for Detective Donald, who is a cop, I'd say, hey, how many people did you arrest? If you were a Neelarthotepian burger flipper, I'd say, well, how many burgers have you sold? So my question to you is, Julie Smith, as Agent 00009er, how many people did you kill?
As Agent 00009er or overall?
Well, just as you, no matter what you called yourself. How many people have you killed?
Probably around 200 or so.
Oh,
200?
Whoa. Yeah, that sounds about right. Oh, maybe more like 215 to, yeah, somewhere around there.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting so turned on right now.
Oh, no, Lou's getting
away. Maybe we can go hunting later.
You know what? Good for you, Logitz. And you know what? Way to come to the save on your lady here. And I want to apologize for getting judgy there for a second. I really shouldn't. You know,
yeah, Randy.
I'm going to throw myself on the sword here. You know, we're so quick to call out the evil in other people, and who knows whether we're doing the right thing or not. We think we're saving the world. We don't know whether my uncle was doing the right thing or not, or what is going on. So we all are just trying to do our best for the people that are in our lives. Mm-hmm. You're working for the cult of Neelarthotep. They obviously wanted Donald killed. Now, do you know why they wanted him killed?
They didn't tell me why. They just gave me a dossier with his experience, his background, name, location. By the way, you're right. This is a really hard place to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know why.
But
I actually looked on Google. And if you look for us, now I'm never going to give out the actual address on the show because I don't want any knuckleheads coming over here and getting killed.
123 Fake Street.
Well, yeah, sure. But, you know, we are in New Paltz. I'll tell you that much. You know, the estate is in New Paltz, and it's right in the middle of a very forested preserve. But you go to look at that on Google Maps, I haven't been able to find it. It's not there. It doesn't show up. So I don't know how they manage to stay off of Google Maps. I mean, they get pictures of hookers.
There are aspects of the government that are able to obscure satellite imagery, so that's probably...
So are you saying the government is covering this place up? Are we working for the government now?
Well,
Who are we? Mom, okay, I'm starting to have
a faction out there. I am not sure who they are, but they are obviously helping.
Okay.
They're not FBI.
All right. Now, Donald, how did you get into this?
You know about the thing with the Cthulhu in the harbor, right?
Yes.
And that story. Okay, so I don't have to repeat that. All right. Well,
yeah, you fought Cthulhu in the harbor.
After that, yeah, they thought I was nuts. They sent me to the nut house. I had to pretend that I believed them and that that never happened and that I made it up. So they let me out.
Huh.
But the force.
But it did really happen.
It did really happen. The force wouldn't take me back. But I knew that something was up, so I became a private paranormal investigator. And one day a knock is at my door, and this freaking thing shows up that looks like a dog. Not a gator dog, but like a dog and a snout and all ugly. And I'm like, what the hell do you want? And he's like, I'm Luguts. I'm a ghoul. I've been watching you. I know you've been looking up stuff. I'm here to help you. And I'm like, who the fuck are you and who do you work for?
I work for
Randolph Carter. And I'm like, Randolph Carter? That was 100 years ago. How the fuck are you working for Randolph Carter? He's like, he's still alive. He's a warlock. And he introduced me to Randolph Carter. So Lou and I start working on cases together. One of the cases we're working on has to do with the Julie's father's cult. I can never remember how to pronounce it.
Neolurkhotep.
And anyway, so meanwhile, Lou's spending a lot of time in my house. This was back when I lived in the suburbs.
So this would be before your house was burned.
And so I lived in the suburbs because I had a policeman's salary. And my wife, I thought she'd be terrified of Luguts, but she wanted to jump his bones the minute she saw him.
What is up with you?
I don't know. He's like Tommy Lee. He has this unexplainable animal magnetism. I don't get it.
You and Julie need to make a sex video for us to put
on our premium. Pam and Tommy did it. Why can't you guys?
Yeah, seriously. Money. Everybody's got a sex video now. Even the people that pretended that they didn't mean to do it, they meant to do it. You know they meant to do it.
Kim Kardashian. All right.
Sorry, detective. Go ahead.
It's all right. Anyway, so my wife, and I'm always having to try to get between the two of them.
Huh.
One day we're working.
She was putting moves on him?
Yeah, she was putting the moves on him.
Now, were you and your wife swingers previous to this?
No.
Hmm.
She's kind of a brood, actually.
Huh.
Lou brought out a side of her. Well, I'll give you this, Lou. You brought out a side of her that didn't exist before. That was helpful for me in the bedroom.
Oh.
But she'd call out your name when she was having sex with me, so.
Oh, my God.
He knows about that. Anyway, so one day, we're working a case, and I'm really drunk, but I want ice cream.
Okay.
I try to drive the store, and my wife's like, you can't drive to the store. You're drunk. Lou can't drive the store because he's a ghoul. So she drives to the store, and she starts the car, and the car explodes.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, detective.
It was after me. They were after me.
Yeah.
I went into after that investigation, they were looking around. They found another bomb in the house. In the garage, buried.
Oh, my God.
And instead of disarming it, they let it off.
Ugh.
Then they tried to frame me and say that I killed my wife and blew up the house.
Whoa, the cops did this?
Yeah, they did.
So luckily, this must have been some of those cultists, just like we were saying.
They were involved in the Boston Police Department. That's what I'm saying. It's bigger. They're bigger than the Boston Police Department. And then, but I didn't go to prison because I had a really good lawyer, Myers Jacoby. Very prominent lawyer. He worked for me pro bono.
Okay.
Because I had helped him when he was a young lawyer. And I was a police officer and I testified on his behalf and helped one of his guys get off that didn't do anything.
Huh.
Can't get off.
Julie helped.
And so Myers Jacoby.
Pro bono.
Yeah, she does. So Myers Jacoby helped get me free. So, but they still suspect me. They still believe I did it. They still insist I did it. I ended up moving above the Greenhound. That's when I moved above the Greenhound.
Okay.
And so it was harder for me
Speaking of which, Donald, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I called that moving crew and I had them go completely empty out all the contents of your apartment above the Greenhound.
Okay.
And I also finalized your lease. I hope you don't mind that. Who knows how long we're going to be stuck here. I figured you wouldn't want to owe that much back rent.
I would. So, thank you very much, Rand. That was very nice of you, Randy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the pod is going to be delivered. Sometime within the next week. So I'm expecting next week to be able to go through all your things and hopefully find that rug with Neil Athateps.
Yeah,
Nick Somalugal. It's got Nick Somalugal. I can't keep track of these freaking.
I don't know what to do about that because that guy, Crowchuckle was going off about not putting the rug back and
doing
the, there's he was kind of weird. He was creepy.
I didn't listen to the second interview you did with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he was going off
I'll
about
probably
that.
Check that yeah, out
you, you really need to listen to the second right. intro. Before
he wants
to,
he says he can get us through the force field so we can go to his house in Vermont, but I don't want to go to Vermont.
Really? Well,
I think
you know
he's trying
what?
To kill him. I think he's trying to kill you.
A little no. weird.
Everybody seems to be trying to kill one of us. I feel like to be afraid of that would really hamper our existence.
Everybody's trying to kill me. This guy wants to kill you. He won't say it, but he wants to.
I don't know if it's killing Donald.
I'm going to listen to it. I'll get a good sense.
It's creepy.
I don't know. Maybe he wants to put Maybe he wants to put some double dicks in your ass. I don't know. He
not
wants something.
Johnny Moon creepy, but it's creepy.
I'm married. I might have messed around a little bit when I was younger, but I'm fully committed. So this guy thinks he can get us through the force field.
Yeah, he also thinks he can take down Lou. That's hilarious.
Yeah. He said that.
Oh yeah, multiple times.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm gonna listen to that second episode, and then I think we're gonna have to have a follow up about Crowchuckle.
I think you should,
and have a conversation about that, and decide what we're gonna do. Because the truth is on the upside, if you can get us through that force field, I could equip you guys, and we can get you out there fighting crime in the streets. If
wait, what are we talking about? Like,
well, like
what,
I was
what's
telling
that to do
you,
with what we're doing.
Well, I made a promise to you guys that you'd be able to, I would help you become detective, Donald the Dark Detective Knight. And then you and Lugutz, if you could ride Lugutz in an hour and be in Boston, you could go and be Boston's crime fighter and still be back here in time for breakfast the next morning.
I like riding Lugutz.
Well, I was going to say, please find another way to word that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't want Donald riding me.
Well, let's
talk. Yeah, I don't want to ride you either.
Let's talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we can get a car.
So your apartment is, or your house is burned, your house in the suburbs, you're moved into the Greenhound now at this point, you're living over there, and you're working with Lugutz. My wife said you were doing some kind of research. This is the problem. You guys talk to my wife more than you talk to me, except on the show.
Yeah, I was doing research, and there's apparently a cult, there's the Cthulhu cult and the Molotep cult, and they're competing with each other, but they're trying to impress a bigger guy. I don't know if it's Nick Somalugal or if it's somebody else.
Okay.
And that's the guy that's running everything. But see, the Cthulhu cult and the Nemoolatep cult, whatever it's called, they're fighting each other. Neolothotep cult. Neolothotep. They're fighting each other.
Okay.
They're trying to compete to make their boss like one of them better.
Huh. All right. Well, that's a show full. I think
it's like a weird Team Rocket thing or something.
I want to thank the three of you. I've been in quarantine now, and before I was in quarantine, my wife was in isolation. So I haven't gotten to really talk to anybody in a while. And I just want to say that experience made me value this friendship that I have with you all the more. And so I really appreciate you guys sharing those stories with me. I am going to bring the show to an end now. Listeners at home, get on your podcast app, wherever it is you're listening to us. We're on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Audible. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Pocket Casts. Get on there. Make sure you subscribe to the show, because then every Monday morning when you wake up, you're going to get our fresh episode. So tomorrow morning, we record the shows on Sundays, and then it takes me about a week to edit them. And but every Monday morning, you can be listening to a fresh episode of Live from the Darkness. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Head on over to our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/livefromthedarkness. And we've got two options for you. You can jump on there for our $5 a month option. And this is going to give you access to all of our bonus episodes, along with our mini series, which I'm going to be personally documenting the adventures and exploits of Donald the Dark Detective Knight and Lugutz the Ghoul as they fight crime. Now, we just got to figure out a way to get out of this force field. It looks like this guy, Crowchuckle, might have a way to do that. So you could have some really exciting bonus mini series is coming up. And then We've also got the bonus episodes, like the Halloween episode. We didn't get around to making a Thanksgiving episode because I had COVID and there was so much going on. But we got a lot of great content there that you can get, and that's $5 a month. Now, our next level up is going to be our sustaining patrons. You guys, for $50 a month, you can come on, you get your subscription. We're going to limit this to 20 people, but you're going to be able to come on the show with us. You're going to sit in with us as we're recording live from the darkness. You're going to get to see all the shit that was too crazy, too frightening, or just too to put out there to the general public. You're also going to get to give some input every now and again on what your thoughts are for the show. And then at the same time, every now and again, we need somebody just to jump on and improv with us for a little bit. And that could be you. That could be you helping us out, being that extra person that we need. So go to patreon.com/livefromthedarkness and help us support the show. Keep Live from the Darkness going. Tell all your friends about it. Find us and follow us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I'm at Randy Aspinwall. We are at Lugatz, at Detective Donald, or at Julie the Ghost One. So you can hook up with all of us on Twitter. And of course, we have the show Twitter, but some weird stuff's been going on there. Somebody's been hijacking that. I don't know who it is. It's the same person that's been adding content before and after our shows, which I don't know how they're doing that, because I upload these shows and I've talked to the host that uploads these shows for me, and they're getting it on their end as is. So I'm uploading our show, and then somewhere in the between that upload, somebody's tagging on these like little things. So, you know, follow that. You know, go to Serene Dread. It's at Serene Dread. You can follow the Live from the Darkness Twitter feed, and you know, maybe help us out and try to figure out who this person is who's trying to kill us and trying to end the world, but,
or at least who's involved in that part.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm so glad to have gotten to learn all the new things that I have learned about my friends. I'm really glad that we did this this episode. Peanut Butter Night!
Peanut Butter Night!
Peanut Butter Night!